This is a life-changing message from New Life Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. And now, let's join Dr. I.V. Hilliard.
We're teaching tonight from the subject of according to your faith, be it unto you. And there Matthew chapter 9. There Jesus is talking to some blind men, and he say to them after he questions them, he queries them about them believing that he could do it. And they said, yes, yea, Lord, we believe. Verse 29, then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. And so we're studying faith so that we can develop our faith, so that we can tap into more of the promises of God. We understand now that faith is a process. And so what we're going to deal with in this session is we're going to look at an overview of the process and deal with the asking component of the process. So if you want a subtopic, you can subtopic this, the asking component. Now, Mark chapter 11, turn that with me. Mark chapter 11 is the classic teaching on faith that Jesus does. And he says there in verse 23, verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, and will happen, and you shall have them. Now, herein lies the essence of the faith process. We've already come to understand that it is important to receive proper instructions in faith. The disciples requested in Luke chapter 17, Lord, teach us, or Lord, increase our faith. And so Jesus then began to teach them faith. Now, the textbook of faith is the Bible. That's the textbook of faith. Turn with me to Bibles there, and let's look in Romans chapter 10. The textbook of faith is the Bible. If you want to look at that, you need a text, a reference. I'm going to learn biblical faith from the Scripture. Not from somebody's opinion, but right from the Word of God. And we understand how to accurately and rightly divide the Word, line upon line, precept upon precept. Understand that I need to read it in context. Now, but the text is the Word of God. Everybody say the text is the Word. All right. And so there in verse 17 it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? By the Word of God. So I got to understand that the essence of the Word of God, the foundation for the Word, for faith, is in the Word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy 3, 16. Turn that with me. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. So the Word of God is my textbook. If I want to understand faith, I have to be disciplined to go through the Word of God to get my foundation from the Word and not from somebody's opinion. Because if I got it on the Word, my faith is based on a sure foundation. All right, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Now, doctrine is about the established order of God. When you talk about something about a doctrine, is that this is God's perspective. This is the order of God. It says profitable for doctrine, for reproof. And reproof is the dismantling of erroneous thinking. Because before we learn it right, most of the time we learn it wrong. You got it? Before we get exposed to the truth, many times you're exposed to error. So the Word of God will correct my error. All right? It says, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, correction, then, is the assimilation of God's truth into your thinking. It's the assimilation. So you get what God's word says, and you got to get it off the page into your person. Got it? And then instruction. That is, you ought to be able to see it in a systematic way. When you operate by faith, you're not just a hoping and a praying. You understand that God is a God of order, and there's a systematic way to approach God with the God kind of faith. All right? And you'll arrive at a state of maturity where operating and walking by faith will be a part of your nature. That's what God wants. He wants it to be a part of your nature. Amen. Now, turn to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 5. Let's us understand about application. It's a proverb that is based on application. Understanding. that if I can get a clear understanding of it, then I'll be able to apply it across the board. And so we're going to take this, and in this series of lessons, I think somewhere around lesson seven, we're going to actually look at how to release faith for certain things, because there's a way to approach faith for certain things, understanding the variables, understanding how to stand in faith in certain areas of life. All right, verse 5 says, counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. So it says counsel is like a well. You have a well, there's limited resources there, but if a man doesn't know how to draw water out of the well, it does him no good. So it says, a man of understanding, when I can understand it, and that's what revelation is. Revelation is an understanding of the Word of God at the level of your comprehension. So that's why I'm a very simple teacher, because I really want you to understand this, because this will bring tremendous results in your life. And when you understand it, then you can make application. So I'm not interested in impressing you with all that I know. I want to make it simple enough so you can know what I know. Amen? Now, turn with me in your Bibles now to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. It is critical for me to understand that when I am in faith, I am not hoping and praying, but there are some expectations of the faith process that I have to recognize and respect if I'm going to get results. Expectation number one is a plan of action. And this is not in importance. This list is not in importance. All of these are important. But when my faith is working, the faith process produces these forerunners. I like to call them forerunners of manifestation. And that is, God will give me a plan of action. That's one of the expectations. Second expectation is wisdom, the correct application of knowledge that I have, both natural knowledge as well as spiritual knowledge. Favor. And favor is the willingness of others to use their power and their ability and their influence on my behalf. But this is favor that is divinely motivated, that God motivates others to assist me. When I'm in faith, I'm also believing for a miracle. Miracle is a sovereign move of God whereby he suspends the natural law to bring his will to pass. In other words, he overrides the natural. Now, I can't control that. Nobody can control that. You know, that God does that, the Bible says, as the Spirit wills. But when I'm in faith, I do believe in the miraculous power of God, and I'm open to receive the miraculous if God wants to do it. He has all power, and I respect that he has all power. I respect that he's sovereign. I do respect that in Scripture, from time to time, we see miraculous, supernatural moves of God that cannot be explained. Yes. Glory be to God. And I can walk in deliberate faith and yet not deny the supernatural power of God. Yes. Now, my faith will bring results. I can count on my faith working if I work faith like the Bible says. I can count on it coming to pass. Got it? You know, miracles are that which work as the Spirit will, and so I cannot predict a miracle. So living by miracles is not the best way to live. Thank God we believe in miracles, because if you ever need one, you need to believe in it before you need one. Amen. And when the doctor tells you there's nothing else he can do and says, well, you got to have a miracle, it's good to already believe him. Said, okay. Instead of having to go try to work up faith, try to believe for a miracle, because in those times, normally you're in desperation. And, it's not really faith. It's really desperation. So, number 5, I'm believing for strength to endure as I work the process. Strength to endure as I work the process. That is, the spiritual wherewithal to patiently work the faith process till I get the results. Those are the expectations of faith. Now, Hebrews 11 and 3. We got to respect the order of God. Everybody say the order of God. Now, this is where we really part company with a lot of people, because a lot of people don't want to accept that God is a God of order, that he does things based on order and not, based on some happen chance. Like verse 3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which were seen were not made of things which do appear. So I understand that, God worked a certain way. He works a certain way. He is a God of order. Everybody say it again. He's a God of order. Now, many people have little respect for order because of basically tradition has so clouded their thinking that, they think somehow or another when we say God's a God of order that we're taking something away from God and that we're undermining him and that we're belittling him. No, we're not. We're saying that he's a God of order. He set order in the elements. The reason they're able to send somebody out of space and bring them back is because there's consistent order in how things operate in the natural. The reason the doctor is able to operate on a person, open them up, open their cavity, their chest cavity up, take out their heart, you understand, and then put it back, and it still beats, it's because there's order in the body. Amen. You got it? And the reason he didn't cut you in your foot looking for your heart is because God has an order. Things operate by order. You understand? Hallelujah. So you got to appreciate the order of God in the natural. Amen. That things are structured. So you got to believe that when it would come to his most prized possession, his relationship with man, and that he would also deal with it based on order and not based on whatever I want to happen. Let it happen. No, God is a God of order. 1 Corinthians, just make a note of it, 14:40 talks about things ought to be done decently and in order. Well, now, if he asks us to do things in order, guess what? He's our father, so he's the model, so he does things, with order. Now, turn to Mark chapter 4. Let's understand that faith is a process, and my results are progressive. My results are progressive. So Mark chapter 4 talks about how the word works, the sower sowing the word, and how the word brings progressive results. If you can respect the order of faith, and respect the progressive manifestations of what you're believing for, that it is not magic. It doesn't happen all at one time, but it is a progression toward manifestation, progression toward receiving it, progression toward acquisition, progression toward having the thing that you are releasing your faith for. When you can respect that, I think then you won't get frustrated. So the Bible says there in Mark chapter 4, look there in verse 26, and he says, "So is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground." In this particular passage, seed is representing the word of God, ground representing the heart of man. The seed and should sleep and rise night and day, the seed or the word should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. So I got to understand, initially when I'm in faith, I don't necessarily have to know how it's all going to work out. Got it? I just understand the process, and I work the process like you do when you get in your car. You may not know about the laws of combustion or any of that sort of thing. You don't need to know all that. All you need to know is I got the key. I put the key in the keyhole, and I turn it. You understand? All things being equal, I got some gas. You understand? I can get where I'm going. So you got to understand that you need not know in advance how it's all going to happen. So the pressure is off. All you need to understand is I'm going to respect the process and I am going to work the process. Amen. All right. Says he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear. After that, the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle because the harvest is come. So the Bible describes this word working process. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Or the faith process as getting progressive results. Amen. So in that I'm going to get progressive results, that means I won't get frustrated when I see the blade. I won't get frustrated when I just get a small return because I understand it's on now, it's working. Got it? You're releasing faith for a raise and all you get is a nickel an hour. Don't get frustrated because also all you got was all your faith produced was a nickel. That's just the blade. Amen. But at least you saw it work. You understand? And that's why a lot of people get real frustrated when they're in the development process, because initially you may get small results. That's okay. That's okay. You got it working. Amen. Now, turn with your Bibles to Mark chapter 11, and let's look at a profile on the faith process. Let's get a good profile on the faith process. Mark chapter 11. Is this simple enough? All right, everybody getting it now? All right, now, Mark chapter 11. Look there in verse 23. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. Whatsoever thing you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, and what's going to happen? Shall happen. The scripture says, you will have what you believe you receive when you pray. It's all you're going to get is what you can believe you receive when you pray. So, but I can see now that there's process. I can see understanding that he says, what things do I have, what things do I desire when I pray. So I can see an asking. Believe I receive them. So I can see a believing. Then he says, I shall have them. And when I go to verse 23, verse 23 shows me the shall have process is based on what I'm saying. Therein lies confession. I also understand that the Bible says faith without works is dead. So I understand there has to be some corresponding action. Now, what I'm so excited about is even though I've taught on faith for years, I've never done an extensive teaching on corresponding action. And that's one of the components that I'm excited to get to in this process and in teaching you is on corresponding action. Because really, I mean, that's really, you know, what's really working the plan. That's really where you're applying the knowledge. That's really, you know, where all the other expectations really are coming to bear on the situation. So I'm excited to get to that, get to that component. But this is a process. So there is this corresponding action, demonstration, demonstrating that you're in faith, working the faith process, and that you will always receive. Now, in Romans chapter 4, turn there with me quickly, and we're going to see Romans chapter 4, a profile of an example of the faith process being worked. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, there are a lot of people say, well, I don't think it's you know, I got to do all of that. You know, why do I have to learn how the system works? Well, you maximize the system when you learn how it works, learn the laws of the system. See, you know, you don't have to know the laws of this land to live in this land. But to get your rights, you need to know the laws. You follow me? And when you know your laws, you can keep people from encroaching on your rights. Amen. And so it's important to understand the order of God. Yes, it takes time to understand the order of God, but it's worth it because you profit from it. You live an exceptional lifestyle when you understand the order of God. Amen. You live an thank you for that little weak hand clap, but I really appreciate that. You live an exceptional lifestyle. See, it's a lifestyle above average when you understand the order of God and you see the hand of God and you see the order of God working. You don't get it. You don't get bothered. A lot of people got bothered by September 11th. Saints don't get bothered by that. Oh, where's God? We know where God is. Where he was, you know, when folk was. Ain't the only trap. Not belittling the suffering that's taking place. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, but when you understand the order of God, you understand why there's evil in the land. You understand God didn't do it, so it doesn't shake you. Amen. Amen. Someone precious to you pass away. You don't blame God because you understand the order of God. You understand why death comes. Amen. So even though you hear people say, the Lord took them, you know the Lord didn't take the people. Everybody God takes, it takes a lot. Amen. So it's comforting to understand the order of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, in Romans chapter 4, we see there is a snapshot there in verse 17 of Abraham working the principle. It says, I'll start verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he promised, he was able also to perform. Now, what we're going to see in this teaching on faith, these different components, we're going to be able to reference each component back to Abraham, who's the father of the faith. We're going to see now, look, Abraham's project was probably had much more impossibility attached to it than what you're going through. He was promised at a very old age that he would have a son. Not only a son, but he would be the father of nations. You got it? And here the Bible says, here he is now. He'd already been given this promise before. He got the promise when he was 75. And you think you've been waiting a long time. And here the Bible says, look, verse 19, and being now weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, was about 100 years old. So the man been waiting almost 25 years. You can't wait 25 days, let alone 25 months. You backslide waiting on God for 25 months. And here he is waiting on the promise. How many years? 25 years. The guy's standing on this. And then he's looking at, he's surrounded by impossible situations. His body is now dead. So the natural function that it takes to produce a child ain't working with him. Not only is he looking at his deficiency, but his partner. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb.
Yeah, yeah.
Now you believing for increase, at least you got a job.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to understand, the boy had it hard. I mean, you know, everything around in the natural that would make this come to pass ain't working. But the Bible says, verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he promised, he was able also to perform. Because God taught him systematically how to walk in faith and how to exercise faith. So even though God wanted to bless him, he could not bless him unless Abraham released his faith for it. That's just incredible. That even though God wanted it to happen for Abram, he could not make it happen until he could respond to Abram's faith.
Amen.
So since Abram couldn't come to the light so I could teach him faith, God had to teach him. Hey, that's just a little joke here. Some of y'all can laugh. Oh my God. When I read this years ago, when I found out that, hey, there's some things that God can really want for you. Of course, he has a whole catalog of them here in the Word.
Amen.
But he can't give them to you.
Yeah.
Until you can receive them by faith.
Amen.
Now, that doesn't make God a horrible God. When you understand his order, to me, that gives you confidence. All I got to do is work on my faith. If Abraham could wait with discipline for 25 years. Hey, I can wait a few days.
Hallelujah.
A few days. See, I understand it. If you get it settled in your mind that the faith process is not magic. We're not talking about some get rich quick, some overnight thing. But it's a disciplined lifestyle where you tap into the creative power of God made available to you to change natural circumstances, situations, and conditions that you have been given authority over. When you understand that it's a lifestyle, then you settle in your heart that you're going to live a lifestyle of faith.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Amen, amen. All right, now. So now let's take this first component for the rest of the way, and that is the asking component. It says, verse 24, what things have you desire when you pray? All right, so that's the asking component. Now, Matthew chapter 7 and 7. Turn that with me, Matthew chapter 7 and 7, because petition prayer is the sincere, earnest request made by one expecting to receive. And so faith is initiated with petition prayer. Everybody say petition prayer. Now, there are many kinds of prayers in the Bible, and they all operate according to certain rules, but we're dealing with the rules of petition prayer. Everybody say petition prayer.
Petition prayer.
All right, now, you should not be embarrassed about asking God for things.
Amen.
It is the teaching of the Bible that we should ask God Matthew 7, 7. Are you there? Now, what does it say there? Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Everybody say, it's all right to ask. Now, when Jesus taught his disciples, you know, and taught them to pray the model prayer, there in Matthew chapter 6, look in verse 11, it says, he's telling them to pray, give us this day our daily bread, asking for their daily bread. Amen. It's all right to ask. Everybody say it's all right to ask. Don't be embarrassed about asking God. You don't need to be embarrassed. You don't need to be apologetic. He puts in the word for you to ask him. Turn to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Now you gotta be persuaded. Remember, Abram was willing to work the process because he was fully what? Persuaded. So if you're fully persuaded, you don't hear some dummy tell you don't ask God for anything and don't ask him. You gotta understand, your faith is not based on the testimony of a dummy. Your faith is based on the testament of the word of God. And if God says ask, it's all right. You call me a dummy? Well, I didn't call your name. If the shoe fit, wear. All right, look there. John chapter 16. Look there with me in verse 23. In that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive that your joy may be full. Can't you see the Bible says ask God for stuff?
Amen.
Can't you see that?
Amen.
Turn to John chapter 15.
Hallelujah.
Don't be apologetic by asking God.
Right.
He's my Father. He wants me to have it that my joy may be full.
Hallelujah.
I do not mind asking God for stuff. Because the Bible says so. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let the word be established. We've given you more than one witness on this. It's okay to ask.
Amen.
See, you got to be fully persuaded. Because religious folk will condemn you. Oh, you just want something from God. Yeah, right. But I'm in my rights to want something. I'm in my rights to ask him because he put it in his word.
Yeah.
All right, look there in verse 7. John 15, 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, how are you going to miss this? Ye shall what? Ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, can't you see why I say only a dummy would tell you not to ask? Somebody void of scriptural understanding? The Bible say ask. Hallelujah. Now, turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Remember, precept and example. So I got to show you some examples of folk asking for something. Now, of course, you know it's very popular, this prayer of Jabez. Got the little books everywhere. All right. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10. And Jabez called on the Lord God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, that thine hand might be with me, that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it might not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. He asked God for something, God gave to him. All right, now turn with me in your Bibles now to 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. You know, the disciples came to Jesus one day, and they said, Lord, we want you to do whatever we ask you. What we ask of you. Jesus said, okay, what you want? Now, if he did not, if Jesus was opposed to them asking, he could have stopped it right there and said, no, you can't ask me a thing. I'll give you what I want you to have. But he said, all right, what's your request? Now, that request was out of bounds because they wanted him to do something that he said that the Father had put in his hands he couldn't do. But he was open to their request. And that's what you need to understand, that God is open to your requests. You have not because you ask not. So it's time to start asking God.
Amen.
Unashamedly asking him. Amen, amen. Yeah, that's the Bible. All right, 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1, here's the story of Hannah. Hannah wanted something from God, and she was not ashamed to ask God for it. Amen. Look at verse 17. It says, and Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition. that thou hast asked of him. So Hannah asked God for the baby, vowed to give him back, and Eli the prophet said, it's done. God's going to answer what you ask. Going to give you the petition. So in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every dummy shut up. Every word be established. All right now. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. So there are rules for asking. There are rules for petition prayers or rules for the prayer of faith. Number one would be qualified desires, because God lets me know what he wants us to have. He gives us some parameters, so I must understand that I can't go and ask God for another man's wife. I can't go and ask and covet somebody else. Covetousness would cancel the request, would make the request out of bounds. Amen?
Amen.
Anything that's going to put me in a sinful position would be out of bounds for me asking. All right, there in first, what I tell you. 1 Timothy chapter 6, look at verse 17. It says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, not trusting uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly what?
All
things to what?
Enjoy.
So God doesn't mind you wanting something just because you want to enjoy it. You don't have to attach any spiritual, any spiritual appendages to it. Give me something, God, so I can, give me a new car so I can go pick up the homeless. You're not going to pick up the homeless. Don't try to con God with that. You follow me? Don't do that. Just, he wants you joyful. He's your father, and it's okay for you just to ask because you want to be happy with it, because you want to enjoy it. And that's the relationship you need to develop with your father, is that I just want it because I want it because my God, I think I look good in that dress. God, I think I look good in that car. My color, I like that color, God. God, I think I can enjoy that house. I think it's big enough for me and the children. Everybody can have their own room, And then God, hey, what about a swimming pool? Can we throw in a swimming pool? And he says, according to your faith, be it unto you. See, God's like this. How deep you want it? He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I could ask or think. Anybody getting stirred up in here tonight? Turn with me to Bibles now. Let's look now in 2 Peter chapter 1. We're qualifying our desires because we need to understand according to the text. Now, there are some things that may not qualify for me asking. And so I want to know what things can I ask for, what kind of, what things would be out of bounds. All right? Are you there? What did I tell you? 2 Peter chapter 1. Look there with me in verse 3. 2 Peter 1:3. According to his divine power hath given unto us, what's this? Watch this. All things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. So I understand that if it meets, it stays within the parameters of life and godliness, it's all right for me to ask for it. Amen?
Amen.
All right, now, so I can ask God for those things that are in the Logos word, the written word. What is written in here, but I also can work the faith process for things that God speaks directly to my spirit. Now, when God speaks something to my spirit, it's not going to be something that's contrary to the Word of God. I should always be able to find it in principle in the Word of God.
Amen.
And so I got to understand that I may not be able to find that God won't have an airplane in the Bible. But if an airplane is necessary for me to carry out the mission,
amen.
You got it? What he says for me, according to your faith, be it unto you.
Amen.
Now, when I bought the first aircraft, and I don't want to get too many testimonies because testimonies always soak up all my time. But when I bought the first plane, God told me to release my faith for it. He wanted to give it to us, but I couldn't do it until I released my faith for it.
Yeah.
You got it? Now, so I couldn't go to the Bible and say, well, God said release faith for airplane. Airplane, go to Concordance. A-I-R. No, maybe not an airplane. Maybe it's in jet. J. Not in jet. Maybe it's in P. Plane. No. Got it? But now, it doesn't violate any godly principle. You got it? He gave me all things that pertain to life. The call on my life. He's given me all things to carry out that call with.
Yes.
Amen. And godliness. All right. Now, turn to John chapter 16 again. John chapter 16. Anybody getting blessed?
Amen.
Whatever's in the Word of God, I can ask him for. There's peace in the word, right? So I can ask him for peace. There's living free from worry in the word of God. So I can ask him for a worry-free lifestyle. Any promise in the word of God that I see in the word, I can ask him for that. Amen. And I can ask him without being ashamed. I had to go with him. Lord, what you think? No. He says, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. He said, come, what you want? I love that. You know, I don't know why people try to trying to characterize God as a God that doesn't care about you enjoying life. When all the Bible says he does. Amen. And that's one thing about us believers. See, we can have the things and have the capacity to enjoy them.
Amen.
See, I mean, you can get a house another way. But the Bible says in all thy ways, acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. I want God direct me in getting my house. I want God direct me in getting the things that I need. Amen. I want his direction. So I've got to acknowledge him. So I don't ignore him and say, no, I don't have, I got the money, Lord. I'll just buy it. No. Not me. God, I want to know what you want. I want you to guide my steps. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, all right, first we read John chapter 16, verse 23, but let's look at it again. Jesus gives some instruction on how to ask him. And in that day, Jesus says, you shall ask me nothing. So I know right now I do not ask Jesus. So I don't say Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want, because that's unbelief. All right, he says, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in what? In his name, not for his sake. So I ask the Father in Jesus' name, because he told me to ask under his authority. Ask in his name, not for his sake. Jesus doesn't need a car, I need one. It's for my sake. All right. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Now turn with your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. You know, I found it so refreshing going back over these passages that I have already learned and taught so many times. Because when I do, I hear them all over again. And faith comes by what?
Hearing
and hearing by what else? Word of God. So see, over time, the devil will come in if you don't keep this word fresh in your heart. And he will condemn you. You follow me? By the lack of knowledge, you know, fresh knowledge that you have in your heart about the things of God.
Amen.
You follow me? And so you know, the devil will use the Bible against you. He did try to use it against Jesus. He tried to get Jesus to jump off and say, you know, the angel will catch you, boy.
Right.
He quoted the scripture, said the Bible says the angel will catch you. So the devil will come to you while you're in faith and you're believing for a better quality of life. And he'll the devil come here and say, you know, you're just too carnal. You, all you're caring about is the things of this world. Well, I'm in the world.
Yeah.
Amen. I ain't him yet.
That's right.
I need a house.
Amen.
I need some money.
Amen.
I ain't him yet. So yeah, I am concerned about some natural things. So don't let the devil try to put me in a box and condemn me so I lose confidence in my heart when I go to God. I got a right to go to him. That's why going over these passages just kind of lifts you, refresh you. Yeah. So there are some things you were in faith for that you were about to let go. Don't you let go of. I have a saying. It's a colloquial saying. He can fill any bag you give him. You just need to start giving him a bigger bag. All right. 1 John 5:14, it says, and this is the confidence we have in him. If we ask anything, how? According to his will, what happens? He hears us. And if we know he hears us whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we desire of him. So that's refreshing, that I ask how? According to his will. And when I ask according to his will, that's when I got the assurance that he hears me. That's why it's important to be instructed in the word of God, to know what his will is. I know what his will is because his will is revealed in his word. And I ask according to his will, and I have a settled confidence that I know he heard me. Not by how I feel. He never asked me to judge the effectiveness of my prayers by how I feel. So it doesn't matter how I feel. I have prayed. I have asked according to his will. And I ask with thanksgiving. The Bible says, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God.
Amen.
And so I'm asking without wavering, because the Bible says if you're wavering, you won't receive from God. It's like a double-minded man. The Bible says he won't receive anything from God. So I'm settled when I'm asking God. I found it in his word. I'm settled with it. I ask with thanksgiving. And then I ask him only once, because to ask more than once would be unbelief.
Yes.
If I believe, he heard me. I believe I have received that which I pray for. Now, we're going to get in that in our next lesson on the believing part, understanding how God views things. Because the Bible says, if I know you heard me, I know I have it. We say, I have it. Well, where is it? Well, it's first spiritual before it ever becomes natural. And so you got to understand, if you ask him for it, spiritually, it's a done deal. And it is the rest of the faith process you work to bring it to pass. Amen? Now, so you have to settle. Isaiah 55 and 8 talks about how God says, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So God's way is best. So don't be hung up on tradition. You got it? So hung up on tradition that you reject his way. If he says, don't ask him, don't ask him. We're talking about with petition prayer. Now, if you're doing the works of God, he says, I'll do the work. In other words, when I'm out ministering, Jesus says, I can ask him, he'll do the work. But when it talks about petition prayer, he says, don't ask him, ask the Father. Then I ask according to his will. And I don't judge it by how I feel. I judge it by what the Word of God says. And the Word of God says, I have the petition I asked for, then I believe I have it. Now, there's a way that seems right to a man. The Bible said the end thereof are the ways of death. So, you know, walking by faith, you have to divorce yourself from feelings. And that's difficult from people because, you know, a lot of we grew up, you know, with a, you know, in church where you had to feel good about it. And you've heard preachers say, I just wouldn't have a religion. I couldn't feel sometime. You understand? And so you grow up in that environment and you get conditioned to judge things by how you feel. And it is impossible to walk by faith and walk by feelings at the same time. Because the scripture says we walk by faith and not by sight. So I got to be able to trust God that God's his way. It's intelligent to do it God's way. Amen. Amen. It's intelligent to say God has, look, it's his system. I think it's, if the man going to explain his system to me, I better embrace his system. So I want to find the basis for my request in the scripture. I want to verbalize it in a request because when I pray, I have to say something. I'm going to ask the Father in Jesus' name, and I ask with thanksgiving, with full confidence that he heard me. Amen. And that's not unusual because that's how you got saved. Amen. We just telling you to take that same principle now and let's take it to other areas of our lives. I'm out of time. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.